McCoy from Villarica, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, offering premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. They have fee-free service, attention to detail, and exceptional customer service has set the standard for the travel industry. MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, the official vacation plan is for the Mickey Miles Podcast. Visit them at either MEI.com or MouseFanTravel.com. Welcome to episode 66 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. How you doing, Michelle?
Well, today is the first day that I actually stepped on Fenway Park. I stepped not just in the stands, but I actually got to run around the bases. So it was a wonderful place to run. I've had the fortune of running in lots of fun places, but it was amazing. It was great. I get to run around the field with my kids for all of 5 minutes. So I'm in a great mood. How about you? How are you doing?
Well, you know, Michelle, there have been many, many times when I've gone to Fenway Park and I've seen people run around the bases, but they've been arrested after they run around the bases. But you were allowed to actually go on to the field because of Mother's Day and run around the field, run around. But they didn't let you slide into third base, though, right?
No. I had mentioned to Mike before we started recording that I approached third base and asked the Fenway Park person if I could slide into third, and he said, no, please don't. And I just thought, he really thinks I'm going to do that. So anyway, it was a special time. Wonderful. But I'm very excited to do the show.
Yes. So what we're going to do is this is our official Expedition Everest Challenge recap show, in which we're going to talk about what we saw and what we experienced at Walt Disney World during the Expedition Everest Challenge weekend. We did not run the race, but we did everything but run the race.
Mike, and before you go on any further, could I slide my shout out in there since I'm sliding everywhere today?
I tried. Go ahead.
Okay, so today's shout out is to somebody named Anita Wheaton, and I'm giving her a shout out because her husband Rod wrote to me and said that she has had some health issues, but she ran her first 5K last week, and she signed up to run the Wine and Dine. So I know a lot of us have lots of different health issues that we're battling, and so it's so great, Anita, to hear somebody getting back in there and running. So congratulations to you.
You know, Michelle, I'm getting excited because we keep hearing about a lot of people who are going to do their first race coming up. It could be the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, could be the Wine and Dine, and I'm just hoping that everybody who we're hearing from, we get to meet and see and cheer them on as I hope they cheer us on during those two races.
It would be great. It would be nice to meet all these people. Yeah.
So, where do we start? Why don't we start at the beginning? And the beginning, as always, for a number of these Run Disney events is the Expo. But this Expo was a little bit different than the ones we have seen over the years, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mike. I think that this whole race seems to me very different than some of the other Disney races. The whole approach to the race seems to be much more family-oriented because it is a 5K, a scavenger hunt, and there's a puzzle to it. And because a lot of the other 5Ks are housed in a weekend where there's a 5K, a half, a full, or, you know, a 5K and a half, this one just stands alone as its own 5K. It's got an amazing medal. But I think because it's only about 4,600 people, the expo is a lot smaller too. So the expo was held at the Wide World of Sports, but it's not, if you've gone to a Disney race before, it's not quite what you're thinking. It's a little smaller, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Yes, it is. It was held at the concourse section of the baseball stadium at the very top, and it was very, 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 very quaint. It was very small. Do you remember, Michelle, which vendors were there?
I do. Yep. So there was theming as we walked in, and you know, one of the interesting things before I talk about the vendors is usually when we go to these expos, the expo is the only thing going on at the Wide World of Sports. But there were a lot of different things going on at the Wide World of Sports. So there are cheerleaders there, and I don't know what else was going on, but it was, you had to go. People were directing you different ways, and when we get into the area where the packet pickup was, it was themed like Expedition Everest. It had some of the prayer cloths on the top. It had a place that looked like a, you know, where you would go, and if you were camping, going on Mount Everest, there was a little pretend campfire, and the packet pickup area and the shirt pickup area was very small. And I think, Mike, that I can only remember four vendors, maybe a little bit, maybe I'm missing one or two, but I remember Raw Threads, which is a t-shirt company. They have like bamboo and cotton t-shirts, and we actually bought some t-shirts there that say Boston Runner. There was Sweaty Bands, which I also bought, and there were the New Balance was there, and I guess that they had already had the Run Disney shoes, and they were already sold out, except for the very small sizes. And then you bought something at the last vendor, which I think was probably the biggest one.
Well, instead of Track Shack being there, there was Fit to Run, and there are Fit to Run stores in Florida, and they pretty much had a pretty substantial area where they could sell. They were selling, I think they were Nathan running belts, and they were selling Goo, and they were selling shoes. They were selling Asics. I don't know if they were selling any other shoe brand besides Asics. And they were selling all kinds of little things here and there.
They were selling Newtons. There's a big,
that's right,
big Newton display.
Yep.
Yep. And they were selling compression socks. And I thought there was technology, too. I thought I saw some running watches.
Yeah, there might have been a few. That's the store. I know that the Fit to Run stores have probably the largest inventory of running watches. I mean, you go into a Fit to Run store and it will take you, I don't know, probably 2 to 3 months to figure out which watch to use, unless you already have made that decision before you go in there. But anyways, those were the vendors. And
so Fit to Run is a chain in the South?
It's a chain, at least in Florida. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but there are several stores in Florida, and they are huge. I know that there are several in some of the better malls in Florida. I know there's one in Orlando.
Hmm.
I've actually been to the one in Orlando. So, yes.
Yep. So I think, you know, it was a very quaint sort of expo, and there, you know, there's a little Run Disney store, you know, like a little merchandise store there too. We forgot to talk about that. And they had the Run Disney medals and some different shirts that you could buy, which were kind of cool. We posted those on our Facebook page, so you can go look at those. But, you know, we were probably in and out of there. We took our time, maybe 45 minutes. We really took our time too. What do you think?
Yeah. I think there wasn't much to look at. We just wanted to make sure we looked at everything. And we got out of there. I didn't get out of there before buying about $100 worth of stuff. But
I think that, you know, it even took the thing that took the longest, and I don't think it was the expo, but that caused us. But the parking took a long, long time because of the cheerleaders and the other things going on. So it did take a long time to get in and out.
I think that the parking was very similar to what you see in January. But the difference was that we went over there midday, and normally when we go to the January Expo, we go first thing in the morning. And if you go midday, you'll be parking on the grass.
All right, so should we switch gears and talk about the next day, which was the next night, which was race start?
Which was race start, and the race took place at the Animal Kingdom theme park, and everyone started gathering around between 7 and 8, as did we, and while we were there, we ran into several people, and it was, like you said earlier, Michelle, it was basically, it's the centerpiece for that weekend. And it's all about the 5K. It's all about a party. It's an event. It's a happening. And everyone was having a great time at the start. And there was a lot. I mean, Carissa was up there with John Pelkey, and they were doing their thing. And everybody was having a great time.
Yeah, so it took place in the Animal Kingdom parking lot. And, you know, a very small bag check area. We noticed right away that there was a sign up front that said the bags that were checked were going to be subject to bomb-sniffing dogs. And actually, after the race started, we saw them bring a dog in there. A police officer brought a dog in there. So in terms of security, you know, wondering about if there'd be any impact because of what happened in Boston, I think that was the only thing that I noticed that was a little bit different. But other than that, it seemed to me, I don't know if you'd agree with me, Mike, that it was a little bit more laid back than some of the other race starts. We got there pretty early. We were chatting with some really nice listeners of the podcast, came up to say hello. But it just seemed a little more laid back. What did you think?
Two things regarding the dog, the bomb sniffing dog. I think that should have been going on well before the last bag was put in place. That should have been happening all the time, rather than wait till the last bag was there. Number two, if you remember, one of the things I think we wanted to mention on the podcast, and that we've mentioned it in the past, I know I have, is that we were there waiting for the race to start, and we were seeing people barely coming in before the race was beginning, really, really taking a chance and possibly missing the start of the race. And I think that one of the things that always pops up at these races, when I'm not doing them anyways, is that there are people who are really late. And that really is not fair to everybody else, because several years ago when I did the Twilight Zone Tower Terror 13K, we actually had the race delayed by a half an hour because people were late. And I'm sorry, but everybody is under the same rules. And I just want to encourage everybody who is preparing for their first Run Disney event to make sure that you get there in plenty of time, as the final race instructions say.
Well, one of the things about this very small race were there were only a few resorts that were official resorts. Animal Kingdom was one. I actually don't remember the other two, but there were signs at the expo that said, remember, you cannot take a bus from your resort unless you're staying at one of these three resorts. So Run Disney told people, but we did see people really, that we got there at about 8. The race started at 10 very promptly. We saw people sprinting in there at about 9:45, and we heard from people who arrived later that it was tricky to get a parking space. Yeah. But, you know, I thought it was very, just like the expo, it was very quaint. There was an area where you could take a picture of, there was a Yeti statue. As you said, John and Carissa was there. I thought Carissa was hilarious. I think she's very funny. And then there was snow. They actually made it snow, which I thought was a really kind of a fun touch. We saw friends from Studio Central. We saw friends from Team All Ears. We saw friends from the WDW radio team. And just lots and lots of families there. Now, Mike, I think it went all the way up to Corral H. Is that where we heard from our friends?
I think it was H. And as always, I was looking for that the highest number. And I don't recall seeing anything closer than like 4,800 runners. I think there was a bib that was 4,794 or something like that. But it was less than 5,000 runners for sure, yes.
Here's one of the things I thought was very interesting, which was and I think you were put in the corrals for this race by when you signed up, but every corral left after 5 minutes. So A would go, then in 5 minutes B would go. Because it's a 5K, by the time that H started, now let me do my A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So that was 40 minutes. That's eight corrals. 40 minutes after the race started, corral H was still waiting. So they had everybody in the corrals by 10 o'clock. So that it was kind of interesting because people were finishing and going off to the party by the time corral H was starting.
Well, you notice, Michelle, that the difference between the Expedition Everest Challenge 5K corral setup and the setup that we see in January is that the corrals, I mean, you had twice as many people running in January as you had last week. But the difference is that the Animal Kingdom pathways are not as wide as Epcot, therefore they had to break up the corrals into smaller groups. So you have to figure there were about 500 to 600 people per corral, whereas in January there were about 2,000 to 3,000 people per corral. So they have to make adjustments, you know, to make sure that it's not too crowded.
Yeah, it didn't seem like people were, you know, knocking each other over. It seemed very well run, as we usually find with Disney races. And, you know, it was fine. I think people were just enjoying it. But we kind of, after the race started, we positioned ourselves at the beginning of Animal Kingdom, right where the turnstiles are, which is a great viewing space. And right outside of the entrance of Animal Kingdom was mile one. And we were very surprised when we saw the mile marker and one of the first people going by, and it was just a sub-5-minute mile. So we were shocked, but people were really sprinting fast. And, you know, everybody was all shapes and sizes, and everybody was just enjoying each other. But I thought it was a good place to – that mile marker one was a good place to get ready for runners. And there were a few people cheering there. Probably not as much as a regular, you know, another Disney event that we've been to.
I'm still not sold on whether that timer was right. I noticed that every single runner, or maybe it's normal too. I guess, when you come across that first mile marker, I think it's habit to look at your watch, although I don't, because I know that when I cross the start, that, you know, the 1 mile marker is going to be completely off because I'm not always going to be in that first corral and I'm crossing the start at a later time. But everybody was looking at that timer. And like you said, I think as soon as I saw the first runner, I immediately looked at the timer and I saw 4:54. So I'm still not sure about that.
Yeah, could be. So then after that was the party, and there were several rides open. A lot of people did Expedition Everest. There was the Kali River Rapids was open. A few other things. People said that they had a great time. They got to go on Expedition Everest. And so kind of a late night, but it was definitely fun. And we, the next day, we got to see the bling, which is pretty impressive. So I think it's the only Disney 5K where you get a medal instead of a rubber medal. And it is pretty similar to last year's. It's a round gold medallion that says Expedition Everest. You open it up, and inside is a working compass. And one of the interesting things, Mike, that we noticed was that there weren't many people wearing the medal the next day in the parks.
Actually, other than those who came to our Mickey Miles podcast meet, I did not see anybody in the parks. Where you may have noticed, but I didn't. I didn't notice anyone.
Well, we talked to people, and people who were at the meet, and some people said that the medal was just so heavy, and other people mentioned that they thought it was fragile. In fact, one person had one that had broken. So I don't know, but you know, it was. If I ran a race, I'd be wearing it in the park the next day. So one of the things we got to do before the race started and also the next day at our meet was we did some interviews with people who ran the race because we didn't run this one.
No, we got a chance to talk with a lot of people, and actually we did about a dozen interviews, and we talked to, I have the names right here, but I think I'll hold off because you'll hear them when we introduce these sound bites. So we have about 10 or 11 interviews, and some of them were done prior to the race. Some of them were done at the Mickey Mouse podcast meet. So you'll hear people talking about the race before they do it, and you'll hear some people talking about the race afterwards. So,
and we also have an interview with our friend Mary Jean, who's a volunteer extraordinaire, who talked to us about her volunteering experience too.
Yeah, you'll hear some people who are doing – one of the interesting thing I noticed, Michelle, is that I think most of the interviews we have are with folks who are doing – were doing either their very first Run Disney event or like are still very much new to Run Disney. And a number of them are excited because they are in the process of training for their very first half marathon. So you can hear the excitement in their voices.
I can't wait to hear. Can't wait to hear them again. I wanted to say thank you to everybody who came up to us and said hello before the race. And we have the best fans in the world and love talking to them about running. And also a big thank you to everybody who made their way over to the Landscape of Flavors and had lunch with us and chatted about the race. It was really, really fun.
So with that, we're going to finish off this podcast episode with all the interviews. You'll be hearing Michelle interview some. You will be hearing me interview some. And we hope that it gives you a taste of what everyone was talking about and how everyone was looking forward to and what they experienced at the Expedition Everest Challenge 5K.
I'm here with my friend Mary Jean Cantle. And Mary Jean, what are you doing at the race this year?
I am going to be volunteering at Clue and Obstacles.
Okay, wow. So you're not running, you're volunteering, which is very cool. And they gave you this really neat shirt.
It's a beautiful shirt, a beautiful blue with the logo. It's great. We'll stand out. It's a lot of fun. I've done the race. It's also just as rewarding to volunteer and cheer the runners on and help keep them moving.
So what does it mean to be a Clue and Obstacle Monitor? Because that title is longer than the one on my business card.
Well, the clues, when you're given the clue, you have to solve the, it's sort of like a logic problem, and write the answer. So you have to be there to tell them they're right or wrong with their answer. If they're correct, you give them the next clue. If they're incorrect, you can kind of give them hints.
Okay, so it's logic and running at the same time.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So can you give us any hint about what the clues are?
I won't know what the clues are until, and I'll only know them for the one little station I'm at.
Okay. So are they going to be like Disney trivia related or?
No, they were, there was a sample clue that was given that was emailed out and it was a compass. And you were given, the clue was something, and you had to use the direction, and it was like ciphering, replacing letters of the alphabet with other letters. And so it's not that easy.
Oh, wow. So if people don't get it, I mean, are you told, like, after three times, just give them the darn answer?
You know what? I don't know. I didn't volunteer. I ran the race last year, so I don't know what you do if they don't get it. I think you can give them enough hints. Last year it was an analog clock, and a lot of people, especially younger, didn't really know how to tell time on an analog clock. So but most people, they'll you can give them enough hints, they'll get it, I guess.
Well, that's very cool. Well, I would be interested to hear afterwards what your experience was like, if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to having a great time.
All right, thanks, Mary Jean.
Thank you, Michelle.
We are at T-minus, I don't know, about 60 minutes before the race, and we're here with Kim from New York. And Kim, are you really excited about this race?
I am. It's my second Disney race ever, and I just thought it would be fun.
That's cool. So Kim's also from Team All Ears, and she came wearing her shirt, so she looks really cool. So, what have you heard about this race?
I just heard it's fun. I thought something different with the obstacles, that there are three obstacles and then the clues to do the scavenger hunt, and that people actually sit at the end trying to solve them because they won't let you finish unless you know the last answer.
That's very cool. So you've done another 5K before this, right?
Yes, in January I did the Disney Family 5K Fun Run.
And you got you caught the bug?
I did. I caught the bug completely.
So do you think you're going to stick to 5Ks or move to longer distance races?
No, I'm actually already signed up for January in 2014 to do the Disney 5K, 10K, and half marathon.
Oh my gosh, you're really ramping it up. That's really exciting. So what made you, is it the bling or is it the Disney or what is it?
I think it's a combination of the Disney and just trying to challenge myself and looking at things and going, you know what, if I could do the 5K, and then I did a 4-mile race recently, I said, there's plenty of time. There's no reason why I can't amp it up and do it. So
that's really exciting. So what do you think of the atmosphere here?
It's really kind of cool. You see everyone just kind of hanging around in line for pictures. Everyone's just always so super friendly. So it's nice.
That's neat. I don't see too many costumes here today, but usually there's some costumes. What do you think about running in a costume in the future?
I don't know. I'm still just first getting into running. I started running in September, so I'm like, you know, basic still, but it's interesting, and that's some of the fun down at Disney is the costumes.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, we can't wait to see you in January with Team All Ears, and good luck tonight.
Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing everyone later.
Okay, so this is Mike, and I am at Animal Kingdom. It's about 2.5 hours before the Expedition Everest Challenge. And I'm here with Jeff and Mitzi from Quitman, Texas, and I believe this is your first Disney race. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes, it is. It's our first. But this will be our fourth race total this year.
Oh, wow.
We did a couple of 5Ks and a 5-mile trail run. It was called a warrior run through the woods, which was interesting.
Wow.
And
I guess
a 10K, Tyler Azalea 10K.
So you've done 5K and 10K.
Yes.
Mitzi, so you guys started this year. Has running or doing these types of events, have they lived up to your expectations?
Yes. Yes. Actually, they've gone above and beyond my expectations.
In what way?
It's been more fun than I expected. I thought it was just going to be a run, and then you get in your car and go home. But there's usually something going on afterwards, like a party, and you talk to people afterwards, and you're excited about what happened on the run, and there's food, and so, yeah.
Now, and it's as best as yet to come.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you say that this was your first Disney event?
Yes, it's our first Disney event.
Okay.
Which we signed up when we started running back in December. And when we heard about this one, I said, let's start with something small. A 5K is a good way to start. Of course, there's the added scavenger hunt, which that'll be interesting.
Do you go to Mitzi on this one? So is there anything that will happen tonight that will make you immediately start thinking about your next Disney event or run Disney event? Or already have you already made that decision?
Yes. We saw at the expo, we saw all these medals from all the other runs. And, I want to do that princess half marathon.
Oh, the princess half marathon in February.
Yes. I'd like to try a marathon eventually, but that's getting a little bit ahead of myself.
Well, I think
start slow.
There is a 10K in, there's one in Disneyland in September. It's the front end of the Disney Double Dare, but I think you can do that without having to do the half marathon. So that might be something you may want to consider. And also, if the half marathon is not in your sights for January, you can do the 10K. So,
and we've actually signed up. We're going to do the 10-miler in October. What's it called?
The Tower of
Terror.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be down here too.
Yes.
Let's see if I can think of anything else. Before we started the recording, Jeff, I told you a little bit about what I was going to ask you, so I'm going to ask you that last question. And Mitzi began to answer this before I even got a chance to ask. What are your long-range plans for running? What would be the ultimate achievement for you?
For me, I'm hitting 50 this year. I'd like to run a full marathon by next year.
Mitzi, what about you?
I'd like to do a half marathon by next year. I think that would be great.
Let's see if I can think of one more question. So you're doing the Twilight Zone 10-miler, and you're doing this tonight. Now, this is a nighttime race event, and the Twilight Zone
Tower of Terror 10-miler is a nighttime event. All the other Run Disney events, well, Wine and Dine is also nighttime, are morning events. Do you guys have a preference? Do you guys have concerns if it's a nighttime? How do you see these events if they're at night?
All of our training's always been in the morning, and all the races we've done thus far in Texas have been morning races, so it's a little different for us doing a nighttime race, especially seeing as I woke up at 5:30 this morning. So we went back, lounged at the pool, no parks today, and she took a long nap. I laid there. I don't sleep during the day very good. So,
let's see. What about you?
I am concerned because I'm a morning person, and at 9 o'clock my eyelids start shutting, and so I'm afraid that I'm going to get sleepy and tired. But we'll see what happens.
Well, a lot of runners do that. A lot of runners will take it easy for these nighttime events. They'll try to stay, maybe go into the parks until about noon, and then out of the sun, off your feet, and everything, and that usually works. And then, of course, when you have January, it's going to be real interesting because there are people doing 1, 2, 3, or 4 races, so those parks will be empty at night. So it'll really be interesting. So we want to wish you guys good luck, and maybe we get a chance, we'll contact you and see how you guys did. So good luck, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
And Mitzi, good luck, and thanks for talking. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Mom.
So I'm here with Lisa and Dave from Chicago, is that right?
Yes, outside Chicago, Lake in the Hills, Illinois.
Okay, so is this your first Disney race?
No, this is not our first. First for the Expedition Everest, or Looper. The Everest Challenge, yes.
That's cool. Lisa, I hear you're the runner in the family.
I've done Goofy this year. I've done the Princess half. I did the full last year, and I'm doing Dopey.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll see you there. I'm doing Dopey, too.
Awesome.
So did you drag Dave along?
Yes. He doesn't run. He's just coming to cheer.
Oh, you're cheering. That's cool. He's cheering for the Dopey, but he's running this race.
Yes, I'm staying away from the Dopey. No Goofies, no Dopeys.
Why not?
I'm up to the half. I'll get to the full marathon at some point, but half is what I'm working myself up to right now. So
what appealed to you about this race?
The obstacle portion. 5Ks are fun, nice and short. I like to have fun during the races, but the obstacles, the scavenger hunt, it's different than a typical race, so I like that.
And Lisa, since you must have a whole room in your house for the bling, I noticed, I haven't run this race before, but I noticed that the bling for last year, at least, was very cool. Is that why you're here?
Yes, I always run for the bling. I have one rack just for Disney, and I'll have to get a new one. So,
I think you're going to get a new one just for this race. I mean, the medal is huge.
Yes, it was pretty awesome. It's a compass that opens up, so
yeah,
the kids will love it, too.
Oh, that's cool. So do your kids run Disney?
Not yet. My daughter just turned 9, so we're thinking next year she can come do this with us, and then a couple 5Ks because she's starting to do those. So,
That's great. So what's your next half?
I would like to do the Tower of Terror in October. It's right around my birthday. So
the 10-miler.
Yes, the 10-miler, a little bit further, and then it's also, I like the night races. She's a morning person, but I like the ones at night. So,
cool. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
So we're about a couple hours from the Expedition Everest Challenge 2013, and I'm here with Dave from all the way from Estonia, New York. Dave, is this your first Run Disney event?
No, it's actually my second. I did the Tower of Terror 10-miler. It's my first one.
But so you've done all the night ones so far?
So far, I guess not Wine and Dine yet, but that's coming.
So you're doing the Everest Challenge tonight. Have you registered for any other Run Disney events?
I'm doing Dumbo. I'm doing Tower of Terror 10. I'm doing Wine and Dine, and also the half in January.
And will that be your? Will the Wine and Dine be your first half?
Actually, Disneyland's going to be my first half.
Oh, great. So let's back off. Let's back off a little bit and tell me. So when did you start your running career?
Actually, about 2 years ago. I was one of these people that couldn't run one lap around the track without being winded, and just said to a friend, "I wish I could run like you." And he just said, "Why can't you? Get off the couch and do it." And he threw down the gauntlet. And ever since, it's just really empowering. It's have my days with it. It's a love-hate relationship, but in the end, it's just something that gets in your blood, just like Run Disney.
So, again, so the Tower of Terror was your first Run Disney event?
Yes.
Let me see. When you finished that race, and I did that race, and it was very warm that night, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there are a lot of my team members took as long to run 10 miles that night as it does for us normally to run a half marathon. That's how humid it was. So I'm going to ask you, when you finished that race, what thoughts went through your mind? What was reaching your expectations? What was lacking? You know, good points, bad points?
Well, that one, I probably ran 6 miles of it and had to walk four up. Right when I got to the gravel path, it was, okay, I needed to do the walk for a while, and then ran all down Osceola, but then once I got into Wide World of Sports, had to run that, and then I just basically walked to the studios. Once I got into the studios back there, but my father's been my number one supporter on this, so I stopped right before the finish line and called him and had him on the phone and actually crossed the finish line while talking to him on the phone to let him know, Dad, I just crossed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let me ask you this. You did a nighttime 10-miler race. You're doing the nighttime Everest Challenge 5K. It's not, and Michelle always says, Mike, you really shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. It's not a race. It's really a party. Do you do anything different? Like, for the 10-miler, a lot of people would like to know this. What did you do that day of the race as far as touring the parks, resting? What did you do? Eating?
I hit Animal Kingdom in the morning for the extra magic hours.
Yeah.
I came back around 10 o'clock. And then I just basically rested and did a lot of pool stretching beforehand. And then about maybe 3 o'clock, took a nap, woke up around 7, and then just came over at that point.
With the approach of the Disneyland half marathon, what are your expectations?
That one, I'm really not sure. It's going to be my first morning race aside from 5Ks. I'm more of a night guy just with my schedule. I'm a 2 in the morning person, not a 6 in the morning person. So I really have none at this point. It's just not to get picked up by, as you said in the last show, the Grim Sweeper.
Yeah. One last question, David. Do you run the whole distance or do you do Galloway?
I was trying first to run the whole distance and realized that wasn't going to work, so I'd become a big fan of Galloway in the past couple months, and especially just by listening to your podcast and everything. You guys have had me sold, and it's increased. I PR'd my first 5K earlier this month from that. So
this morning, Michelle and I did 8 miles, and we did 40 seconds of running and 20 seconds of walking. Everybody does it differently. What kind of ratio works for you?
I've been doing right now the 15:45 start off.
And that works well?
Right now that works. And then when just trying this to do a little more endurance, just for not as much training, just to see what I can do, what I'll usually do for regular runs and is I'll run 3, walk 1, run 3 minutes, walk 3 minutes, and just trying to see.
I'll tell you, David, it works, because 2 years ago, I was running every half I ran, I was running the whole thing. And then came January, we did the half on a Saturday, and I did the marathon relay on Sunday, and I felt better after running back-to-back halves doing Galloway than doing just one half doing it. So we want to wish you the best of luck, and hope to hear from you sometime later tonight to see how you enjoyed this.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care, David.
So I'm here with Tammy and Melinda, and we're going to ask them about their experience running the Expedition Everest. So how did you like it?
I loved it. It was so much fun. So,
what did you like about it?
I liked that it was in the park at night. I liked that when we were done, we got to ride Everest at night. That was fun. And I liked the scavenger hunt part. As hard as it was, I liked that. It was something different, something to do after we were done running. It was fun.
That's cool. So, Melinda, was it your first Disney race?
Yes.
And what'd you think?
It was great.
What did you like about it?
The end. No, I liked everything. It was really nice.
And the medal is nothing to sneeze at, huh?
Yes, it's great.
That's cool. So this is mom and daughter running together. That's kind of neat. Do you think it's really extra fun to do it with a family member?
It is, because we can encourage each other and we can be out there to support each other. And I'm, you know, there when she crosses the finish line to yell at her at the last, you know, that point one. It's like, come on, mom, you're there. Go, sprint. Give it all you got. So
well, you're not really yelling at her, right? You're yelling words of encouragement.
Right.
Don't yell at your mom, Tammy. That's not very nice. So are you going to do another race?
Absolutely.
What are you going to do next, do you think?
I'm going to do the half marathon in January. I want the Donald Duck medal.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, we hope to see you there, and thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
Okay, it's the day after the 2013 Expedition Everest challenge, 5K challenge, and I'm here with Melissa Iannetta from Delaware. And Melissa, so was this your first Expedition Everest?
Yes, it was. It was my first Expedition Everest, but I've done several 5Ks here, and this was a very different experience.
My first question, I always ask someone to, and the answer usually tells me everything I need to know, but I mean, I'll still ask you some more questions. Would you do it again?
I don't think so. Not that I didn't have a good time, but it was more of a one and done for me, because it was more of like an activity, a great activity to do with my stepdaughter, than an actual race. Because the obstacles were so slow, and you really couldn't be focused on how you were performing or anything. You were just having a good time and hanging out with people, but I'm more into races, frankly.
Could you give me the three high points of the evening, be it the party or the race?
The first high point was actually doing it as a team with my stepdaughter. It's the first time I've ever run with anybody, even on a training run or anything. Last night was the first time I did that at all. I always run by myself with my music on. And she was just so much fun, and she was so positive, and she's made it just flew by. So that would be the biggest positive for me. The second, I think, would be, that's a good question, maybe the after party. Expedition Everest in the dark was so much fun, and I got to talk to a lot of people that I hadn't met before and trade stories about doing the race. And the third would have to be that fantastic medal, which is probably why I dragged my stepdaughter down here in the first place, I have to admit. I'm trying to collect the whole Run Disney bling set, and I've just checked off a box.
Wow, take a number. Everybody's trying to do that. If I made you the race director for Expedition Everest for next year, what changes would you make?
You'd have to space out the carols better. You need to sort people into better carols. I'm not speedy by any means, but everybody around me was walking in long groups of people, and most of the race was spent trying to figure out how to get past people who were walking 20-minute miles when, you know, we want to run around a bit. So I think they needed to figure that out better and space the carols better. I was in a back carol, and we had to walk pretty much the first half mile, and in a 5K, that's really slow. I also would have had food, like had people know where the food was better when they finished the race. A lot of people like me didn't eat before the race,
right.
And they very much wanted to dump you out into the dance party at the end of the race,
right.
And it was loud, and I didn't know Restaurant Thesaurus was open, and there was wandering around, but you know, we figured it all out. So those are the things I think I'd fix.
And your next race?
Tower of Terror 10-miler. Yay! I did it last year, so I did the inaugural, so I want to come back and see what they're changing for this next year.
We will see you there, and have a good trip. When are you going back to Delaware?
I go back the day after tomorrow, and I want to thank you and Michelle, because I'm sure I'll be listening to the Mickey Miles podcast on my way back.
Thank you. Have a safe trip.
So I'm here with Sue and Kate, and they did the Expedition Everest race last night, and we're wondering what you felt about it. Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was my first nighttime race at Disney, so I wasn't sure what to expect, but I enjoyed running at night. So,
what'd you think, Kate?
I also really enjoyed running at night. I thought it was much better than my morning runs here at Disney. I also thought it was a lot more than 5K, so I wish my medal said like 10 miles. But
well, let's be truthful. That medal is pretty significant. I mean, you did a lot of work for it, but it's kind of cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much the reason we signed up for the Expedition Everest was it's the only 5K with an actual medal.
Yeah. And I should note that they're not wearing their medals today. Why aren't you wearing the medal
I'm not wearing my medal because it scratches the sunburn on my neck, but it's in my purse.
It's pretty big. So, Kate, I've heard other people say that it was more than 5K. Do you have any estimate of how far you ran?
Well, Sue's pedometer clocked us at about 9 miles last night.
You're kidding me! Wow!
Yeah, between the 5K, the scavenger hunt, and then walking from the finish line back to where the party was happening, we were at about 9 miles.
That is so interesting. So how did you, did you feel like you wanted to party after doing all that?
You know, I honestly did not feel when we were leaving the park that it was as late as it was, because we left probably around 2:30.
Yeah.
And I actually remarked, like, it doesn't feel like I should be exhausted. But then by the time we got back, I was done. After sitting down, I was just, I'm out, I'm done.
So, Kate, what corral were you in, and how long did it take you to start the whole thing?
We were in corral F. So we started about 30, 35 minutes behind everyone else.
So you were actually starting when some people had already finished running.
Yeah, we could see the finish line, and we saw the people crossing, like, oh, look, they're done, and we haven't even started yet.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And so, Sue, did you notice that there were a lot of people at the party last night? Do you think most people stayed?
I thought it was a little crowded right when we finished. But then our group went sort of to the back corner of the park for a while, and we hit Kali River Rapids first, and four times.
Wow.
And then by the time we left that area, it had thinned out, and, you know, the Expedition Everest was a walk-on at 5 minutes, and it had pretty much thinned out at that point.
That's cool. Well, thank you very much, and we hope to see you at the next race. What will be the next race?
My next race is the Tower of Terror 10-miler.
Okay. What about you, Kate?
I'm doing the Haunted Trail 5K.
Very cool. Thank you very much. Hi, I'm here with Beatrice, and we are at our meet at the Landscape of Flavors. And Beatrice, why did you decide to start running Disney races?
I was actually inspired in the marathon weekend of 2013, and I saw a Make-A-Wish family that we had sponsored, heard the stories of what they had all gone through, and I was so inspired by our running team, WDW Radio, that I signed up for the Princess, and I had never run before. It was crazy to even think that in 6-8 weeks I was going to do 13.1 miles. But in those times, I ran like crazy. Ran so much I hated it. But I got ready and I did the whole 13.1 without stopping running. And I did it in 2.5 hours. And after I got that medal, I was so excited. And I'm back. So I'm back for more, and I'm going to be doing the Dopey next year in 2014. So
now, you trained for the whole thing in 6 to 8 weeks. Would you recommend that if you're going to do it again or to other people starting running?
I would absolutely not recommend that. And if I told you how many people thought I was crazy, they probably still do, but you know.
So why did you decide to run again? Is it the bling, or is it the atmosphere, or is it the fundraising? What? Uh-oh, somebody's not happy. So what made you decide that you wanted to do this again?
The Disney running community is just so wonderful. Everybody I know is running, and they're talking about their training runs, and they're talking about what they're working toward, and everyone's doing so many good causes, and so I just have to be a part of it somehow. So it's always like, okay, what am I going to do next? I'm always hoping for something.
That's great. So you decided to do the Dopey. Why don't you walk us through that reasoning process? Because I need somebody to convince me I made the right decision, too.
Actually, my dad has been fighting leukemia, and his favorite character is Goofy. So that was my goal, was to do a Goofy and get that medal. And somehow, the Goofy became pretty crazy. Our running team was going to do the 5K together, and so I wanted to walk it with them and do that with the team. But in doing a 5K and then doing a half marathon and the full marathon, when they threw in the other one, it was just take the plunge and hope for the best and just train hard.
That's great. Sounds pretty much like the way I decided it too. So when do you think you're going to start your training for that?
I've actually already started. Basically, my training so far has been one long run a week, which is 6, 8, and 10 miles, and then rotate 6, 8, and 10 miles. But I think I'm going to step it up now because in talking to some other people this weekend, I think I'm going to run a little bit more often and a little bit more distance too. So I might go more than 10 miles. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm psyched up right now. But
So you live in Florida. When do you have to train?
I don't enjoy training anything in the morning. I do weightlifting, I do running, I do all that stuff, but I don't like getting up earlier than I really have to. So unfortunately, I usually train after I get off work at 5 o'clock, which makes it really hard in the Florida summer. I'm a little bit concerned about that, but I do run in the evenings. So we'll see how that pans out in the summer. I may have to become an early riser.
So I hope you take a lot of water with you.
I do. I actually carry water always. So, and this past time that I did a 10-miler, I took an apple with me just in case I needed some form of nourishment along the way. But I'm going to do some running goo and some other stuff like that. So we'll see what happens when my races get, or my runs get longer.
Well, we would love to check back in with you and see how you're doing. And it was great to talk to you. Thank you.
That sounds great. Thanks. And thanks for all your inspiration along the way. You helped me through a lot of those runs.
Oh, we're happy to hear that. Thank you. I am here at the Landscape of Flavors, and I'm with Stephanie. And Stephanie, thank you so much for coming to our meet. And I want to ask you how you got interested in running Disney races.
Well, the way I got interested in running Disney races, which this will be my first one, Wine and Dine, is because I have a love for Disney that is unbelievable.
So have you ever cheered for a Disney race?
No, actually I haven't yet.
So you've actually never been to an event to see how exciting and fun it is?
No, not yet. I can't wait. I'm actually excited.
That's pretty cool that you're putting yourself out there to run a race and you've never seen what it's like. I'm sure you're going to have a great time. So why did you decide on the Wine and Dine?
Because I love wine.
And you love to dine.
Yes. And I do love the Food and Wine Festival because of the food also. And other than that, it's a half marathon.
That's great. Well, we will look for you at the Wine and Dine. Good luck.
Thank you so much. It was nice meeting you guys.
So that's all the interviews we had for the Expedition Everest Challenge. And Michelle, I guess we'll wait till next year and see what happens at the next Expedition Everest Challenge. See if there's as many people or more people or less people running.
Yeah, I really loved chatting with people about their race experiences and want to thank everybody who took the time to talk with us. It sounds to me like everybody had a great time and most of the people that I spoke with would do it again.
Yep. I think it's one of those, I think it's a good 5K. I think it's a very good first 5K for folks to do. It's a party. There's no pressure. It's especially if you love nighttime and if you love the Animal Kingdom, I think it's probably the best 5K to start your Run Disney career with. The Mickey Miles podcast has been brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, who has set the standard in the travel industry for top-notch customer service. Be it a trip to a Disney location or any other location, these vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel will go that extra mile to make sure that you get the most out of your vacation dollar. They are the official vacation planners for the Mickey Miles podcast. Visit them now by going to www.mei.com or www.mousefantravel.com. So, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.